Ian Harrison from AP joins us to talk a little Toronto Raptors. Ian, they didn't fire the Dwayne Casey, which I understand. What do you make of removing the assistants? How much, if any, impact will this make?
I guess the question is, you know, whether they think there was a failure to develop some of the young players. You know, do you think that Terrence Ross and Jonas Valanciunas in particular should have developed more quickly than they have? And, you know, you might make the argument that those guys, having had 3 years here now, should be a little more advanced. You know, maybe it's just sort of an easy way to shake things up, too, without, you know, making a wholesale change. There was sort of the idea that by firing Dwayne Casey here, you would sort of be kind of validating the idea that the players, you know, would sort of get something, get a change with, you know, without having achieved as much as they could or should have, you know, and scapegoat somebody else instead. So, you know, I mean, it's hard to say. I think there's been sort of very slow development in terms of changeover with Masai Ujiri's tenure here. You know, he inherited the roster and has sort of made some fine-tuning to it with not wholesale changes. And the same thing, by and large, with the coaching staff. His attitude has kind of been, you know, take the long view rather than really kind of, you know, shuffle things around too much.
Yeah, Ian, I mean, I'm with you. I don't see how much impact Tom Stirner and Bill Baino would have. I mean, if they want to keep Casey, that's fine. This is just have a look-see at these guys and tweak it and slowly bring your people in without massive upheaval, because this is not a bottom feeder team, obviously, but clearly some tweaks need to be made.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough, you know, with the Raptors, to get a real read on the kind of caliber of team they are, you know, and this division, you know, arguably the weakest division in the NBA, you know, they've been two-time champions, but, you know, and that is something to be proud of, sure, but you know, it's certainly fair to say that in neither of the last couple of years would you have felt that they were a fair bet for, you know, a conference finals berth by any stretch of the imagination. I think people kind of got, I mean, certainly myself included, as right at the start of that big Western road trip last year when they went into LA and beat the Clippers, like, well, you know, this team now, I think, what, they were 24-7 at the time or something, and you thought, okay, maybe they are for real, but their warts were soon exposed, and you know, I think, you know, as we all like to say, you know, that it is what it is, and what they were basically was sort of a slightly better than average Eastern Conference team, and in the NBA, that's kind of damning by faint praise. You know, they were never as good as Cleveland or Chicago, and never as good as Atlanta, really, even though they did beat the Hawks a couple of times. You know, you just never put them in that same kind of tier. You know, the depth in the roster is just really not there. You know, the idea being that the Raptors are kind of building slowly towards something. I don't think that you want to take too long to get there, though, because, you know, the window is probably not that big. I'm not sure where the Raptors think they're going in the next couple of years, but, you know, Dwayne Casey at the day after they were eliminated this year said, next year losing in the first round will not be good enough. And that, I think, you know, is certainly true. You know, they need to take some kind of step forward next year into the second round and kind of show that they have something to compete, you know, in this conference at least. You know, I think competing with a Western Conference team in an NBA Finals scenario is probably beyond them. But an Eastern Conference second round or possibly Conference Finals berth would be the next step for sure.
Ian, you mentioned the development of the young players. Terrence Ross was the eighth overall pick in 2012, if memory's correct. And then last year, you know, they took Bruno Caboclo, and a lot of people were left scratching their head. It seemed like a real major reach for a developmental player. Where's his development at? Is this guy ever going to be an NBA? Like, did you see anything that makes you believe, regardless of who's coaching him, that he could be an NBA player?
Yeah, I mean, he's not on the court, unfortunately. You know, he had so little time, and he had the very brief stint in the D League. Now the Raptors making a move to get their own D League team, and that would put them in a situation where they could, you know, influence Bruno Caboclo's development a little bit better, because, you know, they didn't seem willing to let him sort of get his feet very wet, you know, in the NBA setting here, you know, just sort of the odd couple of minutes here and there in the end of a blowout game or whatever, which kind of surprised me that they wouldn't make more of an effort to try to work him in somehow. I'm not sure what they thought was at stake and what he was going to cost them. But, you know, even in the time that you see him working on his shooting before a game, you just look at the sort of raw athleticism that he has and the sort of ridiculous proportions of his body. I mean, I remember watching him shoot before one of the playoff games and just, you know, you see the length of his arms where they are relative to, you know, sort of a regular person's arms. It's just mind-boggling to think what he could do if he kind of, you know, is able to sort of smooth out the rough edges. You have to think how extremely young he is and how he's come from a place where the development is nowhere near the same as it is in North America. You know, so patience is certainly going to be required here. But the skills, are unquestionable. And I think given the opportunity to flourish a little bit and kind of advance a little bit, I think that he certainly could be an impact player for sure.
Ian, I think it was Paul Pierce who's ruffled some feathers by saying the Raptors didn't have it.
Yeah.
What is it when it comes to the Raptors, or is it more a matter of better personnel in a couple of key areas?
Well, I think first and foremost, I guess the part of the it that Pierce referred to maybe is sort of reputation, but also, you know, star power. I mean, yeah, Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan are all-star level players based on the last couple of years, for sure. But, you know, there is no player on this Raptors team, clue, who is as good, say, as a John Wall or, you know, a Kyrie Irving or whatever. You know, they are, you know, as good as DeMar DeRozan and Kyle Lowry are, they are not MVP caliber players. They are not the kind of guys who have around the league that sort of, you know, real reputation. DeMar DeRozan he was a part of the U.S. team that won gold at the world, and that was a big thing for him, I think. But you know, he was not a big part of that team. He was more of a role player. He's obviously a very good player, but, you know, he's still kind of a tier below those real top-tier guys. But then, you know, there is also that kind of just that perception problem, if you will, around the Raptors. You know, they were a loser for so long. They are considered, I think, by many people in the league, you know, players, rightly or wrongly, to be, you know, a little bit of an outpost. I think that it's fair to say, though, that things are changing a little bit in the sense that these last 2 years of playoff appearances and the real fervor we've seen from the fans here has kind of opened some eyes for players in particular. You know, you think the comments that Kevin Garnett made at the end of the Brooklyn series last year and how impressed he was at the energy and passion that the fans in Toronto were bringing, that, you know, those sort of, the idea that Toronto is kind of an outpost in the NBA wilderness is starting to change a little bit, and that, you know, those back-to-back division titles and back-to-back playoff appearances are meaning something, that this is not, you know, a sort of a situation that's, you know, a place where only a few thousand fans turn out every night to watch a crummy team go through the motions. No, this is turning into a bit of a basketball fan. You know, the demographics kind of suited it. I always enjoy marveling at the thousands of people who come out and watch those playoff games outside here. A very young, diverse crowd. You know, we tend to think of Toronto as being a hockey town only, but you know, the demographics suit a switch towards basketball. And if they can put a winning team on the court, I think it would. You know, you would see a huge swing in terms of passion and interest.
Ian Harrison joins us from AP in Toronto. Ian, of course, the NBA lottery went down. Minnesota wins it, so they're going to have essentially the last three first-round picks all playing on their on the same team. Then the Lakers got number two. Toronto currently has the 20th pick, exact same as they had last year. Any inkling, is there a specific position they have to go after at that number 20 spot?
Well, I've thought for a long time that the position they're weakest at, really, or the least amount of depth, is at the big man position. You know, we talked about Valanciunas and, you know, the sort of development that he's continuing to go through You know, they behind him really, you know, they had Chuck Hayes, who's not, you know, he has very limited offensive ability. They brought in Greg Steensma this year, and he barely saw the court. They didn't do anything at the deadline, obviously. You know, that kind of fit with Ujiri's slow building process to not really make wholesale changes or blow anything up or you know, mortgage the future in any way. So they didn't do anything to change that situation. You know, it's hard to say what kind of player you're going to get at number 20. Obviously, you know, last year they decided to kind of gamble with Caboclo and see where that got them. I'm not sure, you know, you highly doubt that you're going to get any kind of real impact player there. Maybe, you know, maybe they use it as some kind of trade chip instead, or maybe they look internationally again. But, you know, I think the center position is something that certainly needs to be addressed, at least just to sort of get some more useful depth, because it certainly seemed that Dwayne Casey didn't feel too good about the options he had there.
Is there any, I don't know if you've had a chance to look, is there anything, anyone, I should say, who might be around that 20 spot that you see as a usable piece? Like you said, you're probably not going to get a marquee guy down there, but is there anybody the Raptors could put to good use given their roster now?
I haven't had the chance to really kind of sort of dive into the, you know, the possibilities of the mock drafts or anything like that.
Okay.
I apologize. I don't have a good name for you there.
Well, the thing is, mock drafts at the number 20 spot, you're picking out how many different guys. Everything can change, especially in the NBA. So, unless it's a top five after that, it's such a major crapshoot for who teams are looking at. What about trade opportunities and free agency? Right, like, which, you know, I know they're Amir Johnson hasn't re-signed yet, and a lot of reports say he might not. Do you think they don't sign him? Is that a good move? And then, is there anybody on the market? As you know, do they need more intensity in that position? What is it that Amir Johnson's not giving them?
Healthy ankles. you know what? I wouldn't sign Amir Johnson's ankles to a long-term contract. I love Amir Johnson. He's a great player. He certainly does not lack for energy or passion or anything. He's a fantastic human being. I love talking to him. But I just think that there's a bit of a liability there in terms of his long-term health. You know, there are going to be changes, I think, with this team. Lou Williams is a pending free agent coming off his sixth man award. The biggest question with the Raptors is, what are they going to do to work on their overall defense, and how do they address that? You know, with Lou Williams, they don't really have a defensive oriented player, and Kravis Vasquez, they don't really have a defensive oriented player. Amir is a guy who does give it his all on defense, but I frankly would have serious reservations about bringing him back for big dollars. And sort of constantly worrying. I mean, you know, to be fair to Amir Johnson, he's the kind of guy who would play through anything. But when his legs aren't there, he just can't give you what he could give you if he were healthy or if he were, you know, a younger, healthier guy. As to who they might go after, I don't know. But I certainly do think that stiffening their defense as much as possible should be the kind of, you know, the attributes of players that they're looking for as they scour the free agent market.
Ian, I appreciate your time. Thanks.
You're very welcome.